This is episode 419. My name is Vidal, and I want to thank you guys for allowing me to have this conversation with you. I want to just touch base with you on two of the resources that I mentioned on Sunday when it comes to parenting. We have been navigating this series on family wisdom. We're basically studying the book of Proverbs. And one of the best ways that I have found personally as a father in our journey as parenting three children, resources that can help us to see the practicality of wisdom, because that's exactly what it is in the book of Proverbs, is basically the balance between what you may consider the law of Moses, and then also the teaching of the prophets, the writing of the prophets. So if you can just combine those two and put some sort of a balance in between, that's what you get with the wisdom literature. Obviously, the book of Proverbs is part of that wisdom, and one of the main reasons why this literature existed was what I will consider to do a tangible, biblical, God-centered process of mentoring, but specifically of succession, teaching the younger generation how to make choices that honor the God of the Bible. So again, for me, you know, looking back into our journey, I can think of Dr. Kevin Lehman, which he wrote a book called Making Children Mine Without Losing Yours. Extremely helpful, because by default, for us as parents, especially if you're just beginning the journey of parenting, God bless you. And for us that we have done this for a while, we definitely need the help of God, because the trick of parenting for me is that the older they get, the blessing grows, the more satisfaction comes with it, and you see them succeed and make beautiful, you know, decisions and involve others into their lives as they go into the dating component and other decisions career-wise. But also, that also implies the possibility of, you know, making the wrong choices, doing things that can potentially be self-inflicted. So with that being said, what he does, Dr. Lehman does in his book, he gives you the opportunity to navigate the tendency to either go into the relationship with rules without the concept of relationships, or potentially go into the other side of the coin, which is basically a relationship without rules. He calls the balance of those two extremes, the middle ground, reality discipline. So highly recommend this for us to teach our children, to teach the younger generation to see the reality of life, which is extremely important on the process of disciple making and finding the wisdom through family nucleus. The second book that I recommended on Sunday is written by Pastor Ed Young, and it's called Kid CEO. The subtitle, How to Keep Your Children from Running Your Life. And again, I can speak of these situations as a fellow struggler, where we typically make the mistake to make life and family about children versus making it about the marriage, making it about God, you know, being portrayed and experienced through the component of how we relate as spouses. And I bring this up again because we believe, we have understood that the wisdom of God is portrayed, is given, is tangibly crystallized through the relationship of marriage. That's the best thing that we can give to our kids, a healthy marriage. Therefore, what Ed Young is going to do is going to help us to understand that by default, we don't have to teach children to be egocentric. And as parents, although we do not say this openly and maybe, you know, naively, we typically do this, but we typically perpetuate this me-ism. So one of the things that I've said in the past is one of the best gifts that I can give to my future son-in-laws, whoever my daughters choose to marry, or my future daughter-in-law, whoever my son Josue chooses to marry, the best thing that I can give to those three potential individuals is a non-egocentric, non-selfish, you know, individual, whether it's my daughters or my son. So if we can begin this from day one to teach them these principles, that's extremely, extremely, extremely valuable. Now, on Sunday, when we tried to bring these principles together, we found that the teachings are from day one in the epicenter of the book of Proverbs. We understand that chapter 1, verse 7 is the book that we try to, is the Bible verse that we try to filter the entire book of Proverbs through, as seeing chapter 1, verse 7 as maybe the theme or the one idea that you know, this wise man or this seer is trying to convey, which we read, and you can see it on the screen if you're watching this or maybe you're listening to it, but it's basically the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, look at the contrast, but fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. So as a father of three, and especially as a pastor, because I get the privilege to serve on the staff at First Baptist in Far, I've been navigating and thinking about this concept of fearing God, fearing of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, one of the things that I want us to think about for a second is that the opposite of fear, in my mind, is the concept of domestication and sanitizing God. It's the concept that we romanticize the image and the character and the concept of who God is, that we present a God that we, just like parenting, we either go to the extreme of thinking that he's loving and compassion. We think of him as someone who is forgiven and merciful, which he is, but we emphasize that at the expense of his justice and his wrath and his holiness and his righteousness. And we do not like the concept of the both end of the conversation. We either go one extreme or we go the other extreme. That's exactly what I mean by sanitizing and domesticating. When we come to the concept of fearing the Lord, is the understanding that we began and we built in our minds and in our understanding who God is based on what he said about himself, not necessarily just on what I think or what I believe about who he is. So today, I just want to leave you with a couple of thoughts over this issue of fearing the Lord, because from the beginning of the New Testament, that transition when Jesus is born, and then the beginning and the birth of the church, and the what I believe is the upper room experience with the disciples. One of the primary reasons that we're going to see these apostles, this church planters, launching into writing some of these epistles, some of these gospel tracts, you know, from Matthew to Luke to John to Mark, is to rebuttal against a doctrine that was so permissive, which is Gnosticism. And I get the impression that, you know, the fearing of the Lord is the antidote of Gnosticism. In other words, I believe that when we understand who God is, therefore we understand who we are. And the connection between us and God is exactly that concept of fear, that concept of reverence, that concept of understanding that he is holy and that we are not. We understand that Jesus is exactly the incarnation of this God who makes the God who is lethal, Jesus makes it beneficial. And he is so beneficial to us that he gives us the ability, because it is an ability given by God, to actually trust in his trustworthiness, trust that he is enough for me. That understanding is based on what we're reading. That's where wisdom is found. And this is the fear of the Lord. Now, in Gnosticism, and I got a couple of notes that I want to share with you briefly from Dr. Bob Utley's free Bible commentary.org website on Gnosticism. He's got a section with the special topics. And if you guys go to free Bible commentary, commentary.org, you're going to see that section that says Gnosticism. He basically closes the whole teaching and the whole description of Gnosticism with four things that I want us to look at, as I believe is the antidote of fearing the Lord. Those who do not fear the Lord, as those who emulate and embrace the spirit of this heresy of Gnosticism, when we try to combine Christian truth with other systems of thought. The lack of fear of the Lord is when we pick and choose Christianity, and we create our own version of that Christianity. So in this case, it is the mixture of the Christian, again, the Christian doctrine, the Christian values, the Christian lifestyle, and we mix it with our own systems, our own thinking, our own experience, our background, or maybe other philosophies. Not fearing the Lord in the context of Gnosticism, is exactly when we make the mistake to emphasize, and he puts it on quotation marks, correct doctrine to the exclusion of personal relationship and lifestyle faith. So this is the understanding, or again, thinking that all that I need to do is to make out of this book called the Bible, the law, some sort of a checklist that, based on my ability, based on my training, my dedication — I'm a firstborn, so I'm a very determined, go-getter, driven person — I can do these things at the expense of a relationship, at the expense of a lifestyle. So in my mind, I'm drawn back into the book of Exodus, when God tells Moses that these people must follow the commands, not so they can become his people, but because you are my people, you must follow my commands. So as a father of three, exactly the same principle. Rules and regulations, guidelines, they do not, if you fulfill them, that does not qualify you to be my child. But because you are my child, then you got to follow those rules and regulations. So again, this kind of a either or versus the both and on the correct doctrine at the exclusion of relationships and lifestyle faith. The third component that Dr. Bob mentions on Gnosticism, which I believe is the antidote, the opposite, and I think is so permissive and so popular in our context today without knowing, is when we turn Christianity into an exclusive intellectual litmus. This is when we create and we emphasize the dichotomy, and I have no one else to blame but pastors, people like me. When we create this dichotomy, this kind of a divorce concept of clergy and those who are in positions of leadership and then the rest of the people. Well, in reality, Christianity is not an exclusive intellectual eliteness. This is not for few people, for educated people. The Bible is a book written for the common man. That the Bible, as Dr. Bob says, the Bible and the reader and the Holy Spirit are more than enough. The last one has to do with people that turns to asceticism or antinomianism, which are just basically words that describes, once again, extremes of people who are basically basing their Christianity on their discipline, their drive, their ability to fulfill and please God. Or the other extreme, which is the antinomianism, has to do with those who, because God is loving and caring and merciful, I can do as I please because I'm not going to lose salvation anyways. So any of these components definitely distort the image of what fearing the Lord is. So today what I want to do, I want to just invite you to think about, based on what we said on Sunday, what fearing the Lord is. And the fear of the Lord is basically a lifestyle relationship. A lifestyle relationship based on the worship and the obedience of Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm not speaking of my worship. I'm not speaking of your ability to obey. Because we're honest, our tendency is not to worship God nor to obey God. It's something that we do not want to do on our own. It's something that is based on the character and the person of Jesus Christ. So when it comes to the fear of the Lord, when it comes to this reverence, this relationship that allows us to see God beneficial, is based on the way Jesus himself created that relationship of exclusivity with his heavenly Father, that he never compromised his commitment, his devotion to the Father, which translated into obedience. The question is, what kind of obedience Jesus had? What kind of obedience did he practice? And is that radical obedience to God, to die in a death that took him into a Roman cross and gave his life, not necessarily for us, although he did give his life for us, but it was a life that he gave in obedience to his heavenly Father. So fearing the Lord for us is embracing, believing, replicating, emulating the worship and the obedience of Jesus that is reflected on a lifestyle relationship. I want to thank you for allowing me to have this conversation with you. I do invite you that you will follow our channels, our venues, our podcast, our audio, our video. And I want to thank you guys for simply plugging in for a conversation that will continue next time. Have a wonderful rest of this week. God bless you.